withwho1.co.uk presents the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast number 129, in which, oh, so I'm Adam.
I'm Alicia.
And we'll be going to be talking about
stuff.
Pond Life, specifically, which is the little mini prequel.
Would you like to explain what happened before this?
I tried to record what we're doing on the iPad's GarageBand program, and decided that program for some reason only records 10 seconds, which is rather points to the fact I won't be using GarageBand on the iPad.
How long did we record for?
I can't remember, quite a long one. About 3 hours.
You're happy.
Oh, well. Anyway,
that means I have to repeat myself.
So I'm gonna play the omnibus edition in the background, so as we can remind ourselves.
How long were the actual episodes when they were on?
Range between 45 seconds and a minute and a half. Five episodes, Pond Life. So we have this one here, which we can see the Doctor's basically having a load. Are these flash forwards to some of the adventures we're going to see?
No.
Or just...
He's just explaining what he's done.
Stuff he's been up to. Yeah. Including crumpets and naked ladies and Sontarans and sort of him putting down vocal tracks on rapping records.
I think what they made the big mistake of, I think they should have done something to do with him turning up to the Olympics, because there was a TARDIS when they make the TARDIS noise.
That would have been a brilliant idea. Well done, Alicia, for saying that. I'm going to move the microphone.
I think you should have went to the Olympics, yeah. And they could have just used like a green screen of the Olympics and then him going away. But no, Stephen Moffat didn't think of that one, did he?
Well, they might not have been allowed to do it because of certain restrictions at the Olympic.
Oh no, I think Lord Coe would have let them.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Anyway, so the Doctor then goes and visits Amy and Rory in the bedroom, but in the wrong time period, which is consistent with the sort of thing the Doctor will do. He implies...
He implies that his light on the top of the TARDIS is broken.
Not quite, not yet. We haven't got to that bit yet. He implies that there's nothing to worry about, meaning there is something to worry about.
In the future.
And then we see more flash forwards to what... Either is it flashbacks or flash forwards? I don't know. I think this is basically a...
It's his flashbacks and...
Our flash forwards.
Yeah.
So he's actually... So it's a bit like the... what was going on in the Hospital Astronaut? Where that was like the future...
It's a bit like that because that was River Song's past and Doctor's future.
So we saw in the first episode of the last series what was going to happen in the last episode. So we see here... What's actually going to some of the things are going to happen perhaps between now and when the Ponds leave in the end of this little
mini
run
of Doctor
Who.
But I do love Rory's new hair. It does really suit him. What do you think?
It looks a bit like a wig.
I like it. And I like Amy's new hair as well.
What's new about Amy's hair?
Well, see, you don't take note of this.
No, it's very 60s.
The last series, she had a side parting and it was all straight. Well, it had a bit of waves in it, but it was mostly all straight. Now she's gone for a middle parting with kind of like a bit of volume with curls now.
Thank you, Alicia. But the nude turned up in their bathroom. The Doctor's dropped this oud off.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the reason for the oud being dropped off?
He accidentally dropped him off. He found him in this, I don't know what planet, and he thought
the oud sphere? He's taking it back to the oud sphere.
Yeah, but he kind of thought... He wandered off through the TARDIS, but no, he wandered off into the Pond's house. I found this funny.
But the oud does turn out to be quite useful to the Ponds in a way,
like a butler.
He's a bit like a butler, yes. That's quite good, the scenes of the housework that the oud does. I did notice that Rory had a child's lunchbox. Did you see that?
Yeah. I think that was a comical thing.
Now, obviously, I've said that they put the oud in because the oud is going to be in the new series. I'm pretty sure it is. I think I've heard a title that does mention the word oud in it. And you said not, didn't you?
Maybe they'll have a little, like,
I think this prequel is basically telling us what's going to be in the next few episodes. So, I like to see that they're eating a proper nice breakfast, including sausages and...
Yeah, because you've made them. And Rory's like, I feel a bit guilty. Amy's like, just accept it.
So anyway, the Doctor, like you say, he was up his ladder, doing something to the light on top of the TARDIS, which is supposedly the scanner, leaving messages on the Pond's answer phone, using a red phone, and the, which was, where would he get, was, so that phone stretched from the TARDIS console all the way out from the door.
Oh, I love this bit. He is like, I accidentally made the invention of pasta.
He accidentally invented pasta, but he's having a meal with, I can't remember who it was now.
Oh, no. Oh, this bit is really sad, because they're arguing.
What, the Doctor is? I can't remember.
No.
Oh, yeah, Rory and Amy appear to split up. And Amy's got dark eyeshadow on, is looking upset. No, but who's he having a meal with? The... something... the Mongol leader, was it? I can't remember his name.
Oh, yeah, and he deletes the message.
Mental.
Look, he deletes the message, and Amy expects it, the message to come up when she comes home, that there's no message.
But do you reckon, obviously, we were talking about on our previous version of recording this about the departure of the Ponds.
No, she's not going to die. I'm going to send her off. Otherwise, Isabella will be distraught.
That's what I was alluding to, the how if they do kill off Amy, how Isabella will be completely and utterly... distraught, because she absolutely loves Amy. Amy is all she's known as a Doctor Who companion. She's never known any other companions.
No, exactly.
She hasn't even really registered Rose as a companion with the Doctor. Do you think it won't be just her distraught? It'll be lots of 6-year-olds
that
have only known Amy.
Grown, not going to say grown with Amy, because they've kind of like seen the story of Amy Pond, like how she got together with Rory, how they got married, everything to do with
how
Amy.
They died, how they come back to life again, how they died.
Yeah, just saw the whole like cycle of her and Rory, and now it'll be quite disturbing for them to see their like beloved character they've grown up with, like killed off.
And also because Moffat's been killing Rory and Amy off and bringing back to life again on many occasions during his time as the showrunner. I wouldn't put it past him to do it again, but I also wouldn't put it past him to have them go off somewhere and live happily ever after. But I can't see how they can do that, because it seems that Amy cannot detach herself from the Doctor, because the last line she says in that thing is, I need you, Raggedy Man. So yeah. I don't think she can...
She's like, we need you, I need you. Basically, that she's saying she needs the Doctor to save their marriage.
Maybe so, but I can't see them... I mean, I just can't... I'd be light and happy if they did work out a way that Amy and Rory could go off and live happily ever after somewhere. But I don't know, unless it's another alternative universe thing, I don't know how they could really do that. Unless it's a case that... But even though Amy said... Karen Gillan says you won't go back to Doctor Who, allegedly, that they could actually say, well, they just go off and live off somewhere and then they'll bring them back sometime in the future so they can be in the 50th anniversary.
I hope that.
So do I. But they're making a big deal of this Pond departure. These five episodes appear to be blockbusters, proper movie episodes with all lots of action, which means obviously that it implies that after the Christmas special we're going to get some...
But the one thing we are missing this time is how they did it.
How they did what?
Did it all, because we're not going to see how they made it.
Oh, you mean there's no Doctor Who Confidential? Yeah. Well, maybe it's because they're putting all these little prequels and, more of that sort of stuff instead of the confidentials, story-based extras.
It's kind of a miss, and you want because kids used to enjoy that, thinking, "Oh God, that's how they did it. Oh, that's how it's done. Oh yeah," because because I one of my dream jobs is to like work on Doctor Who and do the prosthetics and the makeup and stuff for it, because I think that'd be quite a cool job, and because I see my Doctor Who Confidential, it's like thinking, oh God, I wish I could do that and stuff like that. So that's kind of like inspired some of my career.
So, that you haven't got yet.
No, not yet. I'm going to college though, ain't I?
Yes. Anyway, back to Doctor Who. Thank you, Deb. So obviously this is all the big build up to Asylum of the Daleks, which is, as far as I know, the first Dalek story that Stephen Moffat has written.
I swear he's done another one.
Well, you swear wrongly, because he hasn't.
I've just lost my sunglasses. I don't know.
So, what do you expecting to see and from Asylum of the Daleks? Now, I would expect...
Lots of Daleks going mad and Doctor saying the same line as Christopher Eccleston. They've gone mad within themselves.
In the previous version of this recording, you said, what does Asylum mean? And I said it was...
I said. I swear, asylum means a mental home.
It can. It's somewhere that where people are, or not just necessarily people, well, it's generally people, are looked after when they need help or they need rescuing from something. A mental asylum is when they need rescuing them from themselves, and other asylums are when they need rescuing from oppression. Okay, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Right, okay. But so
it's something to mental, isn't
it? I think the Daleks in this thing are being rescued from the Doctor. Basically, they're getting together, gathering an army to be rescued from the Doctor. And I wonder if that's for me. Right, would you mind looking after the listeners for a moment while I go and get to the
do
door?
I can't do it on my own.
Seasoned podcast.
No, I'm not doing it. I'm going to stay quiet.
Right.
No, I didn't say anything.
That's a surprise. Right, where do we get up to?
Bye.
The Asylum of the Daleks. So, yes. Like I say, I think that the Daleks are basically in an asylum protected from the Doctor. Because what happened at the end of Victory of the Daleks?
He let them go
accidentally.
No, he didn't accidentally let them go. They threatened to blow up the Earth, and he had a choice between blowing up the Earth or killing the Daleks.
So he was sort of forced into letting them go.
But I think that, I'm not going to lie, that they were bluffing when they said they were going to blow up the Earth just to get away. I think they had it all planned, to be honest.
Well, I wouldn't put it past the Daleks, who, although megalomaniacs, actually are very clever.
Because they can break like a code and like a billion long cone in 1 second flat.
Yes, and also what I expect, because this is a Stephen Moffat episode and it's him finally getting around to writing a Dalek story, that this will be absolutely fantastic.
Because it's his first chance of doing it.
And whatever you say about Moffat, he might have some funny ideas about what he actually wants to do with the series as a whole. He's still a blooming good writer and can still write some fantastic Doctor Who. So, and also people that say that, you know, they slag him off, but some of the best episodes since he took over are his episodes. For instance...
Yeah, but one thing I'm not looking for...
11th Hour.
That you don't have to blooming keep bringing back the blooming angels in every single series that you do. I know it's your character, you made it up, but you don't have to keep bringing it back. It's annoying.
Well, River Song's his character, and he keeps bringing her back.
Yeah, because she's a good character, and she's like, he's developed a story of her, but we know the angel's story, so you don't need to keep bringing him back.
No, but I'd like, if they're going to bring the angel back, to turn them back into what they were originally, not characters that break people's necks, but characters that transport people through time. Yes. I much prefer that aspect of it, because it's timey-wimey and it's interesting. And let's say these angels take people forward in time rather than backwards in time.
I don't know. I'm interested to see what they do with it now, because we've done most of the stuff they can do with it.
Sorry, Alicia's just disappeared somewhere, listeners.
But I'm interested to see what they can do with it now, because it's nice to see what they can do with it now, so they've not done mostly everything.
What with the angels? I've only had two episodes.
Like, what else can you do with them?
I don't know. We'll find out. I hope it's an improvement on what they did last time.
Yeah, and last time was a bit.
It was okay. I just didn't like the neck breaking aspect.
Imagine and they don't really consider like the kids watching it. To be honest,
they always consider it because they want to scare the kids. That's the whole point of it.
Watching kids breaking.
No, the idea of Doctor Who is being kids scared hiding behind sofas. They want to keep that aspect to it, otherwise it's not going to be Doctor Who, is it? He's got to have a certain scary element to it. Look at Empty Child. How old are you? 15. Will you watch it? No. Well, there you go. Rather illustrates my point. So tonight's the night. Doctor Who returns
and
for
me,
5 weeks.
I'm at a carnival and
I'm working. Yes. But fortunately, we have this thing called iPlayer. We have this thing called Sky Plus, and other methods of recording such things. Well, I would probably watch it on the iPlayer because that increases the viewing figures for Doctor Who.
Okay, but I don't know if I get a chance to watch it because I'm working tomorrow and I have to get up early and go to work, so I don't know when I'm going to watch it.
Indeed. But so that was it. That's Pond Life and our little look forward to Asylum of the Daleks. Tomorrow we'll be recording with the usual crowd. I don't know.
No, we did talk about the 50th anniversary.
What about the 50th anniversary? What about it?
What they're going to do with it? Because he signed on for 20.
He's signed until 2014, yeah. So he'll be there for that. What I was saying, I hope they haven't in this block of recording recorded. Like, we've got five episodes now, and they do another five episodes after the Christmas special, and they save the last three or four back for next November. I'm hoping that we get a whole series.
I don't think they'll do that, but they'll bring back all the Doctors that are alive. But I don't know if Christopher Eccleston would do it.
I think he might do it if he's thrown enough money. But like I said, if they're going to bring them all,
Captain Jack,
that'd be
and
good.
Donna,
it'd be nice to see them back. Cause
and Donna's granddad.
Yeah, but I think they're relevant to the new series. I don't think they're going to bring back a lot of classic things for the 50th anniversary.
Well,
I think
if it was going to be a classic cat, Doctor Who Companion would have been Sarah Jane. But she's
They can bring back Jo. She's still alive.
They could bring back.
They could really bring back Ian, because he's still going. William Russell, that'd be brilliant. If they bring back the character of Ian for the 50th special, because he'd be
they could just bring back Doctor's granddaughter. We haven't seen her for a while, have we?
Yeah. But I think if they're going to bring back, it's going to either be her or Ian, or even both of them.
What?
As old people.
Yeah, but they could, if they want to have something to do with Sarah Jane, they could just do a little scene of Rani and Clyde. And
I don't
if they
think
want. And if they do want to include Captain Jack, it would be nice to see them still in America, and like you see like a quick clip of Quinn, and then you see like Captain Jack answering his phone or something, and then just going to the doctor or something like that.
Maybe, but I think I'm more interested in what they're going to do.
Is Torture coming back?
I don't know. I'm more interested in what they're going to do with the surviving actors from the original episode, and I think they've really got to try.
Well, if Tom, not gonna lie,
where they're
Tom,
still alive,
Tom,
they can't.
If
I'm
Tom
sure.
Baker was going to come back, he's got to have to lose a few pounds
and look a bit younger.
Yeah.
He's in his eighties.
I know, but you could bring him back, but he needs to lose a few.
I don't.
You know,
well, same with Colin Baker, but that's not the point.
But Peter Davison, when he did come back, you could see he was chubbier than he was.
Yeah, because again, he's 20 odd years older. But what I'm saying is, I don't think they're going to go down the line of bringing too many of the original Doctors back, unless they bring them back to play completely different characters and cameos, which would be great. I'd say I'd like to see maybe Eccleston done up in prosthetics playing a baddie or something like that. What I was saying was, if they're going to bring back classic Who actors, the most important ones to bring back, because it's a 50th anniversary, would be the survivors of the original episode, Unearthly Child.
Yeah, but what would they use? Like, what monsters would they use for it, or something?
They could use any monsters they got.
They can't exactly bring back the Master now, because he's kind of dead.
Well, they don't know if he's dead. He just went off. He might have found a way. Might have found a way of getting out of it. He's the Master.
We've brought back the Time Lords technically when we had that when David Tennant died. Technically saw the Time Lords.
Then they were killed again.
They can't do that. What else could they do that they can't do?
They could have something brand new, or they can bring back ultimate foes like the Daleks or the Cybermen or something like that, or all the foes the Doctor's
we've
ever faced.
What
all the foes the Doctor's ever faced?
We've done that. You remember in the
Dorica?
Yes, we've done it already.
Okay, but I still, the thing I'd like to say as a Doctor Who fan, and I know it won't have any relevance to new Who fans, is to bring back Susan and Ian for the 50th anniversary.
Yeah, that's one thing I would love to see as well.
Not
many kids will think, oh my God, who's that? But I think some kids will be like, oh my God, the Doctor's got a granddaughter. I want to go back and watch and see the story.
Yeah, there is that aspect of it. But I'd like to see, that's a good point actually. It might make people go back and look at the originals. But the fact that William Russell and Carol Ann Ford are still fairly fit and well and are capable of playing a part in that episode, and that's what I'd like to see, and I don't think we will see that, but that's what I'd like to see out of the 50th anniversary
I know it's like kind of predictable, but I know Matt Smith has signed on for 2014, but I think it'll be kind of nice if, no, I do love Matt Smith, but it'll be kind of cool if he regenerates halfway, if they do a series.
Yes.
He regenerates halfway through the series instead of like doing it right at the end.
Right. Well, that's going to be about it, because we just had the
Adam.
Yes.
Anything
So, and until tomorrow, thank you, Alicia. I hope you're going to be with us tomorrow. I hope everybody enjoys Asylum of the Daleks. Until tomorrow, goodbye.
Bye.
Services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who podcast alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended. I did it!